episode 347.
The first time that it happened to me, it just crushed me, deflated me, because I was so hyped up about this, the superstar that I had found. I had recruited him for quite some time. I finally got him to come aboard. He gave me his commitment, signed his initial papers, gave his 2-week notice. And sure enough, on day 8 or 9 of the 10-day notice period, he sends me I think he called me. He said, "Jonathan, I'm not coming."
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome to the award-winning Remarkable Results Radio podcast. I hear from so many listeners on how the podcast has provided them a wealth of insights and wisdom shared. Carm Capriotto here, bringing the world of the automotive aftermarket to your fingertips. Check out the podcast on over a dozen listening apps, and be sure to check out the technician interview series. Find a trove of options on the website to focus your specific areas of interest. Hey, these are conversations worth hearing. Hey, it's important to know that the Aftermarket's premier podcast is supported by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these great interviews. You know the brands, you've embraced them for years. Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Hey, get more information on these brands and the great programs for you at fmmotorparts.com. Hey, the network of listeners builds in the Aftermarket's Learning Superhighway. I'm honored to make so many connections, like new Facebook friends Carly Pava, Stuart Terry, Stan Moxaluski, Beth Amazalorso, and Ryan Hoover. My new Instagram followers, Clark Automotive and Stephanie Lorenz. And my latest LinkedIn connections, Ralph Quintana, Tim Buford, and Mars Monday. Hey, connect with us. RemarkableResults.biz/social. Hey, welcome to episode 347 with Jonathan Ortiz, the general manager of Foreign Affairs Auto in West Palm Beach, Florida. Foreign Affairs Auto was founded by Jonathan's parents, Frank and Gloria Ortiz, in 1992. Now, the business was a full-fledged used car dealership, but their business model changed when Frank and Jonathan went to a management conference, and they both decided to change their business model to all service. You're going to hear the story. Jonathan joined the family business when he knew it was time. He was encouraged to go out on his own and find his niche. He earned his MBA from Northeastern in Boston, but found out that he suits well within the family business. He took the helm and worked with his family to grow the business by making sure their people were first. Jonathan made a big, bold move when he brought the entire shop to the WorldPAC conference this year. The shop values family, and that's the reason that Jonathan changed to a 5-day work week. Jonathan tells the story on how that decision to open 5 days was presented to the team. Jonathan says he found pure market differentiation as he promises same-day repairs. Now, that may not sound like differentiation to you, but their customer base is made up of mostly European car owners who've come to accept that their car repairs will take more than 1 day, and this shop works hard to make that happen. This truly sets them apart from their competitors. We also talk about his connection to Tarai Raymond Sawera, who we interviewed in episode 313, and changes that Jonathan's made to his hiring strategy when a tech he was counting on coming to work for him didn't show up. Now, how many times has that happened to you? Hear his story. Now, listen to Jonathan Ortiz from Foreign Affairs Auto. Hey, a warm welcome to Jonathan Ortiz from Foreign Affairs in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Jonathan.
Hi, Carm. Thank you for having me.
I'm just thrilled to have you. There's some really interesting things to talk about. And it starts with, here's a guy with an MBA from Northeastern in Boston running this fabulous shop out there in West Palm Beach. How did that happen?
I grew up in the family business. My mom and dad started the shop 35 years ago. And as I mentioned, growing up, it used to be my summer jobs. My dad would make me come in 7 in the morning, start sweeping the shop floors, washing the customer cars. And due to that experience, I wanted nothing to do with the business. Yeah, I was like, no, it's not for me.
You know, there are a million guys in the same position. I mean, I grew up in a family business. I can so relate. And so you finally said, I'm going to go get some education.
Yeah, I think that was my motivation for sure. You know, it's real hot here in summer Florida or in South Florida. So, you know, that type of job out in the summer is, it wasn't the ideal thing to be doing. So, you know, and it was always something I wanted to do. I always wanted to pursue my MBA. When I finished my undergraduate studies, I did take about 5-6 years to get work experience. So I did join the family business and got some, you know, real world experience. And I actually, you know, found that I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it.
When you look back, you said real world experience. You know, when you look back, wasn't that one of the most valuable things you could have ever done? Had you known back then?
For sure. I actually did, or as soon as I finished my undergraduate studies, I actually did start my MBA program right away at a local school here in Florida.
Okay.
And it was just a continuance of undergrad. It had really no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It was theory. It was books and theory, and I didn't appreciate it. So I didn't last the semester. I actually, withdrew.
So you needed to go out and roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty in a different program.
Yeah. And about 5 years later, and I felt that, you know, calling, or I felt that, you know, desire to go back and just learn more, you know, expand my capacities in that sense. You know, a lot of my friends and colleagues, you know, they asked me, Jonathan, I mean, you work for a family business, you know, why are you going to go, you know, spend, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and get an MBA? Why is that necessary? And it was something that, you know, I had made a promise to myself, you know, many years ago. I did want to, you know, educate myself to the max, or, you know, to the most of my ability. And that was just one of the things that I really, really wanted to do.
Look back. What's the biggest piece of value that you've brought to the business from your education?
I think it's the ability, or maybe the willingness, to be open-minded. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I got from a post-grad education, is just that it opens your mind to just so many different ways of thinking, so many different, you know, beliefs, cultures. I think that's the biggest thing that I actually took, you know, back, looking back from my education, is just being open-minded to everything.
So when you need to solve a problem, you're really thinking your horizons are bigger. And your paradigm is much larger than had, you know, you've grown up in the business. And it doesn't mean that everyone who's grown up in a family business should be going for their MBA, but it's a great differentiation or an advantage for you.
Yeah, I feel so. I feel that way.
So a car dealership, is this right that the company started by Frank and Gloria, your parents, you basically were a car dealer?
So the shop was started originally as a shop, you know, as a small one bay. My dad was the only mechanic originally.
That's how they all start, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, my mom was actually a nurse. You know, she left her career to join my father and, you know, help him pursue his dream. So then she would she began assuming all the office operations and the day to day stuff. That's how it started. And then about 15 years ago, I mean, the natural progression was, okay, well, now, you know, the shop is doing great. Let's expand it to the next level. And, you know, back then we felt that next step was to begin selling cars. So we began with a small inventory, and then the inventory grew a little bit, you know, little by little. And, you know, by the time that we, had the machine running, we were selling 30 cars a month. It was all luxury, you know, high line cars, late model, you know, some off lease type of vehicles, and it was going, you know, really, really well. My dad and I went to our first shop management conference, which actually was the Ratchet and Wrench conference. It would have been 2 years ago, and that was just a real big eye opener on how much, you know, potential and how much, you know, how much better service operations, fixed operations can be.
You couldn't wait to go home and start implementing.
We couldn't wait to get home, sell off all the cars, sell off all the inventory, all right, and just do a fire sale, which actually eventually we ended up doing. We sold it. We liquidated all of our inventory, closed our sales department, and rebranded and completely just focused 100% on our service operations.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, our service center was always big. It was always a large part of our operation, but over the last 2 years, I mean, we've increased our service operations 20-30% year over year.
You ever regret not having a car or two up on the lot?
No. No, not a single time.
Smart move, you know, huh?
Yeah. I mean, cars are depreciating assets. You know, so every single day that it sat on the lot, it's a race against time to avoid losing money. So from day one, you're making money. By day 30, by day 45, I mean, those margins are going like that. So
amazing. If I was a buyer and I knew what your timeline was, I could get a heck of a deal.
if you compare both sides of the business, I mean, like I said, every day a car's on the lot, you're losing money. Every time that lift goes up and down, you're making money. So I think that's the best way to compare the two sides.
Let me talk about the family dynamic for a minute, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Dads, moms have children. They own a business. They naturally feel that it's time, that a moment in time, the family is going to join the business.
Yeah.
Did you feel that pressure, or did you just, you know, after you got your education out of the way, said, hey, this is a good thing?
It was a good thing. You know, it was a mutual decision on all of our parts. I was actually encouraged to not join the business. You know, I was encouraged to, you know, go out on my own, go out and find my own. I was encouraged to, you know, pursue education to, you know, to this fullest. But with always the support that if I did want to join the family business, the door is wide open. I've been very, very fortunate. My parents have been very, very supporting. They've been very, from day one, they have let me have really the stage. You know, they've let me run the operations really since I've come aboard. They've supported my vision. They've supported my goals, my leadership, which is really, really, I'm very appreciative of that because it's, you know, unique. I do hear, you know, a lot of other, similar situations where you have family businesses and, you know, you're having, you know, butting of heads, you're having conflicts and vision direction. And I said, I'm very, very fortunate that my family has always been very, very supportive of us and where we're going.
Good for you. I mean, they're literally living their succession plan by watching you and being there for you. Do you feel that? Do you feel the support?
I do. Yeah. I do every day. Yeah, absolutely.
Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. So your passion in the business is all about the customer, huh?
It's all about the customer. Yeah, I think the way that you make them feel, you know, that sense of feeling that they get when they leave your door is what really differentiates, you know, a shop or any type of business from another, you know.
Do you have to earn loyalty each transaction at a time?
Every single time. Every single time it's really a reset button, you know. So I mean, it could be the best customer you have. A customer can have been here 50 times in the last, you know, 5 years. And it's every single time he walks in the door, you have to reset it. You have to treat him just like this that first time. If you don't, you know, that's when you get sloppy. That's when you can lose a customer. You know, that's when, you know, a guy can get a mailer in the mail and say, you know what, let me try this because I'm not feeling it anymore. You know, so you really have to create that every time.
Take me inside the culture. of your business?
It's people first. You know, it's people first in terms of customers, people first in terms of staff. I think that's the most, that is for sure the most important aspect of any business is it's you know, people assets. So that's how we strive to treat our customers. That's how we strive to treat our staff.
Is it hard to attract people when, you know, that glow happens inside the business, or do you find people come to you?
It makes it easier. It makes it easier when that glow is shining as bright as it can, you know, but it's always a challenge. You know, the shortage of people in the industry in itself will always make it a challenge, but you know, that's when you have to make it, it's when you really have to stand out even more to, you know, to make it attractable.
What's your program for your techs regarding training and incentives? Give me an idea of what your program is.
Mm-hmm. So training is very, very important, you know, for us as an organization, in all areas of you know, of our team, whether it's a technical team, you know, technicians, whether it's the advisors, whether it's, you know, you know, our family, the owners. I mean, we're very, very heavily involved in ongoing training and bettering ourselves. Our technicians, they are attending approximately about 30 to 40 hours per year in training sessions. I mean, we attend all of the major technical schools that are offered on the independent side. You know, we attend the big conferences that are offered each year, or, you know, every other year. Like, for instance, the World Pack one, we mm-hmm. just attended that one.
Okay.
We actually took our whole staff as part of a perk. I mean, we had a record year last year, so we wanted to do something extra special, and that was something that we did. We took all 11 guys.
Excellent. So, did you close?
We closed. Wow. Yeah, we actually closed the shop.
One day?
No. What was the conference? I think it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the weekend.
Excellent. So, really, techs want more than just pay.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You have to offer more than pay. I mean, if you think about us in the competitive landscape, you know, and who our major competitors are, you know, we consider them to be the franchise dealers. You know, the Mercedes dealership, the BMW dealership, the Porsche dealership, the Audi dealership. Those dealerships have multi-million-dollar budgets, so we cannot compete with them on pay alone. You know, we have to find ways to attract our staff, attract our technicians by offering things that they cannot offer. You know, for instance, culture, for instance, training, for instance, appreciation. You know, all those items you may find hard to find at a franchise dealer because there's just so many people that are, you know, are part of that staff. Mm-hmm. You know, here we're a much smaller staff, so we're able to individually concentrate on each of our staff members' needs.
So when you're doing an interview and you're talking culture, because I'm sure you do, because that seems to be what's glowing inside of you, and you make a hire. Did it ever happen that someone didn't show up on the first day you wanted to hire them?
Yeah, it's unfortunately happened to me.
What goes through your mind?
You know, the first time that it happened to me, it just crushed me, deflated me, because I was so hyped up about this, you know, the superstar that I had found. I had recruited him for quite some time. You know, I finally got him to come aboard. You know, he gave me his commitment, you know, signed his initial papers, gave his 2-week notice, and sure enough, on, you know, day 8 or 9 of the 10-day notice period, he sends me I think he called me. He said, "Jonathan, I'm not coming." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "No, I'm sorry. I just, you know, the general manager of the dealership, the service director of the dealership, the regional director of the dealership is a huge."
They all hovered over me.
They all came down on him. They all gave him, you know, the major guilt trip. They, you know, they told him that in all his training that they had invested in him, they were going to, you know, hold him responsible for. You know, they couldn't let him pay. You know, they made him another cash offer to hold him, and you know, eventually they convinced him to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that really, really, really got me down, because I had really, really, you know, sought hard to bring this person in. But I took that instance and I said, well, what did I do? What could I have done differently to have changed the ultimate outcome of that situation? One of those things is, you know, not allow a 2-week period. You know, if somebody is employed at an organization, I mean, we have to get something to not allow them, because we know that they're going to be completely bombarded by all the management.
Yeah, they've got time on their side there. Yeah.
They got time on their side, you know, and then they're going to take it easy, you know, that first week, that second week, but, you know, they're going to really, really let them feel the pressure. But we need to focus on building so many things so that a technician, after even going through that, you know, boiler room, you know, meeting, that he has to just say, there's nothing here that this organization can offer me that would make me stay. I mean, it's just the scale is just too, the offer is too good to be good, you know, too good to pass up,
yeah.
You know, and it can't be money. It cannot be money.
Right.
You know, so when, you know, one of the things that we do now, when a technician comes in for an interview, we do a full tour of the shop. We invite them to actually spend half a day with us, you know, you know, just part of you know, the recruitment process, or part of the interviewing process.
An immersion, if you will.
Yeah, almost like an immersion, exactly. Mm-hmm. See how the day-to-day operations go. I mean, let's get them excited. Let them see the fast pace. Let them see the cars, you know. Let them see the different brands that are coming in. Let them see the, you know, the Porsches and the BMWs and the Mercedes and the Audis. You know, one of the things that I have found with technicians, you know, especially that have grown up in one brand, is they like the challenge, or that they see a challenge of being multi-brand.
Sure.
So, you know, we use it as an opportunity to you know, to pique their interest, or to, you know, to show them that, you know, here we can offer them, you know, to improve their technical skills, or, you know, to improve them as a professional by expanding their horizons and their technical abilities and in multi-brands. So, you know, they see that, they see the, you know, the way that we operate. You know, a lot of the dealership guys, you know, they have a bad image or a negative image of what an independent shop is about.
Sure, and they can woof all the stuff that they want. And unfortunately, our industry doesn't do enough to ward off that image.
That's correct. You know, and at the dealership, I mean, obviously they're being brainwashed as our customers are being brainwashed, you know, inferior parts, you know, poor lack of quality, you know, don't know what they're doing. So we take that, you know, like you said, immersion experience, just to basically show them firsthand that everything that they may think is not true.
Help me with the timing of this. You hire the guy on a Monday. He's going to go out and give a 2-week notice. When does the immersion start? On day 2, 3, 4? I mean, how do you start it?
The actual immersion is actually done before the job offers.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's a great strategy. He'll want to come by because he's interested in the offer. So he'll hang in there with you. Yes,
exactly. It's before the job offer is given is when, you know, he's provided that opportunity.
Very, very smart. Very smart. Well, has it worked, that strategy?
It has. And it also gives us a good or a better opportunity to further learn about a candidate, you know, further filter out.
Absolutely. Let your people help you with the decision, because that's if you made a bad decision, they're going to gang fire them in 3 weeks after, anyway, right?
That's right. That's right.
That ever happened to you?
Well, yes, again, yes. But then, and the worst thing that you want as a business owner, the person that is, you know, responsible for the hiring, is to make a bad hire. You know, just the reflection that it gives, and, you know, that's something that we all make mistakes, but
every one of us. Yeah.
That's good.
I can't count on hands and toes how many mistakes I've made over the years.
That's correct. But we learn from every single one of them, so it only makes it better.
You know, you talked passionately about customers before. What's the best referral way to get new customers for you?
Referrals.
Referrals, is it, huh?
It's referrals, just giving your best, you know, making that outstanding experience to the customer. You know, making it be that when they leave your doors, they're just like, blown out of the water. Wow, how incredible was that? I didn't even feel like I just had to spend, you know, a couple $1,000s to fix my car. It actually felt good.
Well, your upper end, your European, your Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, right?
That's correct.
And you almost have a plateau that you have to live up with people with that discerning attitude, if you will, of what that car means to their world, their lifestyle, their status.
That's right.
So do you have a lot of QC, a lot of concierge things going on? Describe what a customer's experience would be like.
Yeah. So we we focus our operations on same day repairs. So we do not have loaners. We do not have a loaner fleet, which is, I think, pretty remarkable, because all of our competition, all of the dealers, they will, you know, put emphasis on loaners, but they'll also tie your car up for multiple days at a time. We will go the opposite way. We'll do no loaners. We'll do free Uber transportation. So if a customer is going to drop the car off with us, we'll give them a ride home or give them a ride back to work. But by the end of that business day, you know, 90-95% of our repairs are completed, and the customer's coming back. We're giving them back their own car. They're driving home in their own car.
Isn't that the exception to the rule?
You know, we've found that a customer appreciates that actually more than giving them a loaner and tying up their car for, you know, 3, 4, 5 days. So the loaner thing is a bit of an inconvenience as well, you know, to a certain extent. I mean, you still have the check-in, the check-out process, and you're driving somebody else's car.
It's amazing, when you own a high-end car, you're willing to wait a couple of days, isn't it? And you figured that differentiation out. Well, good for you. Are you open 5 days a week?
We're open 5 days a week, and that is actually a new happening, or a new
strategy. A new happening in the company.
Yeah, so, a new happening. That's right. It is a new happening.
You were seven. You were what? 6 days?
We were six. We're 6 days before. We were Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays we're working that abbreviated schedule from, you know, 8 a.m. until 2 p.m.
Was that a monumental cultural change for mom and dad to see that?
That was a huge, huge, huge change. That is correct.
Tell me how it came about. How did it come about?
Yeah, that just happened recently. That was one of the outcomes from our recent Worldpac trip. That was one of the announcements that we made to our staff as one of the things that we wanted to implement. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're a people first company, very, very family valued. I mean, as you can say, we're run by a family, so we feel that it's important that all of our staff have a full weekend to enjoy and spend time with their families. So we made that commitment to cut Saturday hours and allow our staff to, you know, to work on Monday to Friday schedule, while pursuing our same growth levels that we have, you know, targeted. So I mean, I think that's the most important thing. It's not a strategic decision to decrease, but it's...
Yeah. So, hey, guys, we're going to do this for you. We're going to go down to 5 days, and our revenues on Saturdays have been this. We've got to push them in. We've got to make sure the customers push in to the 5 days a week. Do I have your support?
That's correct. That's exactly what it is about.
And obviously, you must have gotten a resounding yes. And were they coming to you saying, hey, boss, what about giving us the weekend offer? Did you start hearing that from interviews that you've done? And, you know, people, yeah, I'd love to move if I can come to a 5 day shop.
Yeah. You know, that was, I have to give a lot of credit to our service manager, Anesh. He was the first person just about a year ago, where we were too close to the transition of closing down the sales department. We still had a lot of baggage, call it, you know, to overcome before being able to be in a position to eliminate Saturday hours. But he was the first person to recognize, you know, how great of a perk that would be, for our staff. And then during all of our, technician interviews, you know, one of the things that really, really I saw as a common feat was the guys working for the big dealers, you know, they're working right now one Saturday a month or maybe two Saturdays a month. So that, you know, that the every Saturday, or, you know, the three Saturdays or the four Saturdays of the month having to work it wasn't attractive enough that we were able to really, really confidently say we're able to attract the best talent in the market.
I get it. Glad you did that. Good thing. Is dad at the business every day?
He's here every day.
That's great. What's his role?
So he'll oversee, you know, somewhat of a support role. He'll help. He'll fill in every possible way he can. He's a very, very hands-on person. He loves to be right at the front line. He loves to say hi to the customers, make them coffee, chat with them, converse with them, you know, learn about, you know, their needs, learn about their cars, learn about, you know, why they choose to service with Foreign Affairs.
So dad is the ambassador.
Yeah, I do like that term, because that's exactly what he does. He, you know, he's the ambassador for the customer, but also ambassador to the staff. So,
I get it. What a great, wow, to have, you know, the dad so willing to put you up front, making all the decisions and leading the business, is smart enough to know that you've got to fail, but he's there to help you in any way that he can, and to pitch in when you say, hey, Pop.
Need help.
Hey, Pop, help. I see it on your son, Jonathan. I see it on your face, Jonathan. I understand. Anything I can do.
That's right.
How exciting. And you just, I think, recently told me that you have a coach, a business coach. Was that difficult for dad to say that you really think we need help from the outside?
Again, as I mentioned, you know, they've been extremely supportive of really anything. So, you know, when that did come up as a topic, and as a, you know, as a thought, they were all for it. They're like, absolutely. Any way of improving, no matter what, we're all for it. Let's listen.
Who are you guys with?
We're with Elite.
Elite Worldwide. Bob Cooper. Great team. Good people. How exciting. How exciting. I want to make a mention. I've never said this publicly at all, but I did an interview from Tarai Raymond Sawira from Zimbabwe back in Vision of 2018. And you guys were so kind as to send Tarai a care package from Florida. Wow. That was just so to the listener, you guys listened to the podcast. You reached out to me. I think it may have been your dad, Frank, who reached out to me and says, listen, I'd love to help this guy. I remember people helping me. We've got some equipment hanging around. We'd love to send a care package. That was tell me the story about that.
Yeah. So my dad actually had an eye operation a couple months ago. And while he was recovering from the eye operation, I mean, he spent his recovery time, obviously not being able to be here, but while he was at home, and most times his eyes had to be shut, listening to your podcast, Carm. So one of the podcasts that really touched him was that podcast about Tari and about his shop in
Zimbabwe. Yeah,
in Zimbabwe, that's right. About a shop in Zimbabwe. And you know, it really touched him, because you know, as he started his shop, you know, without any equipment, without, you know, the funds, without, you know, built from scratch, you know, he loves to hear those stories, and he really wanted to reach out to him and send him a nice package with some diagnostic equipment, some tools that we had here in the shop to help him out as much as he could.
Great story. High five. Kudos. Make sure you tell your dad again. Thank you from me. I Tarai has reached out, and I know he's reached out to you guys, and wow, that's a pretty darn warm feeling for me, and I know for you guys too. And I know Tarai really appreciates it. Hey, about your service advisor, does your service advisor have industry experience, or did you hire from outside the industry?
We're a complete hospitality-based business. So I want people, other than the technicians, obviously, but I want people that are not car people. You know, we'll teach the car skills, but I want people that know how to treat people well. Okay, so we look hospitality industry, hotels, you know, the five-star hotels, we you know, the nice restaurants. You know, I always consider myself recruiting. So when I'm at these nice restaurants, I'm at these hotels, I'm always looking to see, you know, who really, really stands out and who I think could make a nice could do a nice job, you know, in the automotive service business. And it is a nice niche, or a nice supply of talent, because these guys are also working, you know, endless evening hours, endless weekend hours. And if you can pitch them, you know, a Monday through Friday normal working hour pitch, and you know, we know that we can make a good living in the business. It's actually very attractive.
Is this one of the hardest jobs in the shop, the service advisor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very, very demanding. Requires a lot of multitasking skills, a lot of focus, attention, a lot of selflessness. I mean, you're working for the customer, you're working for the technician. I mean, you're being pulled by every possible angle. So very, very, very appreciative of anybody who serves the role of a service advisor.
If Jonathan Ortiz had only one job to do each and every day to come in the place and do it, what would it be?
Making sure that all my staff making sure that they have everything they need to succeed.
Let me bring it down even further.
Yeah.
You're not a wrench.
Correct.
Do you love the counter? Do you love the office? Do you love marketing? What's your love?
Marketing is my, I guess my passion, you know, that started the business, either marketing or operations. So on the marketing side, I'm looking for ways on how to bring customers in and how to, you know, share our story to our community on, you know, our service shop. Mm-hmm. And on the operations side, again, making sure that, you know, our business, our shop provides all of our staff members here everything they need to succeed in their career and succeed in servicing our customers.
Great. Now, you just said the word operations. So that leads me into processes and systems. Are you a fiend for that?
Processes and systems are very, very important for us. Everything has to have a system. Everything has to have a process. We're very, very firm believers of them.
So are they written in a manual? Are they online in Google Docs? Are they videoed? To what level have you taken processes and systems?
Yeah, they're written in Google Docs. So we have first of all, we have a pretty detailed employee manual or handbook that has a lot of the processes written out in them. So part of the onboarding process, I personally will sit down with a new staff member and go through a lot of those processes with them. Our own staff members also, so as a new technician coming in for the first week, they don't touch a wrench, basically. They're doing an onboarding shadowing process with our existing technicians. Mm-hmm. So our own technicians will teach them and go over some of the technical processes with them.
Got it. DVI, you doing it?
We are.
What are you using?
We're using AutoVitals.
Okay. Any struggle with the staff, the team, as you transitioned from, if you will, paper to digital?
You know, we transitioned probably about 4 years ago. So I want to say we were one of the early adopters.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. So at first, absolutely. You know, it was a it's always a bit of a transition. You know, any type of change in our organization is always going to be a challenge. But you have to point out the benefits. You know, you have to point out the benefits that the user or the staff member will get by this change and why this change is being implemented. We actually closed the shop for one whole day while we implemented it, and we practiced.
Wow, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, we did dummy tickets. We did dummy cars. Every technician was assigned a dummy ticket. They weren't allowed to finish that day until they were able to actually finish a car 100% on their own, very smoothly. We didn't use any of the training options that were available. I mean, we did everything in house. Mm-hmm. But it helped out. Day one that we were actually up and running, it went very smoothly, and by the third month, everybody loved it. Nobody here today couldn't imagine ever going back.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, and I see that a lot. Jonathan, from when you started to say, for example, it took a whole day in the training to do one inspection. What's your average inspection today?
Yeah, about 20 minutes. I mean, we have a pretty extensive inspection. I mean, it's a rather comprehensive one. But the average time is just under 20 minutes, about 18 minutes.
It's got to be part of the white glove treatment for your customer too.
It is. It is. It's a complete free service. We don't charge the customers. Our technicians also do not get paid for the inspections. They do that on a LEC basis. Based on that, the end result, the actual repair, is the ultimate reward. So. They understand that concept and the big picture.
What makes you choose your number one supplier, Jonathan?
Two things. Ease of doing business. So what I mean by ease of doing business, purchasing and returns.
Okay.
Number two, price.
Number two, wow.
Number two is going to be price. Now we're assuming that we're talking about OEM part. We only use OEM parts, so it has to be an OEM. Right. It has to be an OEM part. So if all levels are equal, ease of doing business number one, price number two.
But you mentioned Worldpac. Are you getting a lot of OEM from them?
Worldpac is our primary supplier.
Okay, it is. And it's interesting. You said price was number two. Where does availability come in there? Wouldn't it be above price if you're doing a 1 day repair?
Worldpac has really spoiled us. They've spoiled us.
They've,
you know, they,
got
they,
it.
Look, their warehouse is 3 miles from our shop. You know, we're getting 6 deliveries a day, and their inventory levels or stock levels, you can see from my response, it doesn't even make it a factor because we know they have it.
Got it. Hey, what's your passion beyond the shop?
You know, my family and I guess sports, soccer, tennis, fitness.
You play them? You play it all?
I do. I try to play as much as I can. And I work out every morning. I'll do the early morning workouts before I come into work. So I'll be at the gym 6 a.m. I'll do 5 days a week and try to fit in tennis. I used to play a little more. Now that my son's getting a little older, I like to be home as soon as we close shop.
I get it. Good for you. Family first. I like that. Family first in the business, family first at home. Hey, what was your last road trip?
It was actually last week. I went to Disney.
Okay. What's that, about a 2-hour drive?
Yeah, 2.5 hours.
2.5. Good for you. And you had a great time with the family?
Awesome time. There's nothing like Disney. It's you know, I saw one of the T-shirts on one of the park goers, and it says the most expensive day ever. It had like the Magic Kingdom castle in the back. It was funny.
Don't you look at them and say, "Damn, they got that right."
For sure. That's for sure.
Shirts don't lie, do they?
That's right. So. But you see, you spend so much money, but you leave with a big smile on your face. That's got to be the philosophy as, you know, as a good, successful business.
Yeah, I would never pay $15 for a hamburger. Except.
Exactly.
When that's I'm right. here in this, you know, in the Disney environment, and there's my kids and they're hungry. Oh, what the hell?
That's right.
Yeah, I know. Hey, any great words of wisdom that you live by that you'd love to share?
You know, I'm always a believer of, you know, no matter what, give it your best. You know, even if something that you don't enjoy. I mean, there's, you know, as a business owner, there are some areas of the business that you do not enjoy. Mm-hmm. But learn to find ways to do them well. If you can find ways to do things that you don't like doing well, you're really going to set yourself apart.
Great advice. Jonathan Ortiz, Foreign Affairs, West Palm Beach, Florida. I loved it. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Carmen. I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you for inviting me.
And thank your dad for being such a great fan of the show. I love
I
it.
Certainly will.
You broke the code on how all that worked. Wow, I love it.
I didn't tell him I was going to be on here, so I'm going to see when he...
you're not even going to tell him, and when it releases, he's going to say, oh, my God, it's John. Oh, how cool. All right, man. So. Talk soon.
I appreciate it.
Hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Jonathan. Thanks for your time and your valuable lessons, which resonates throughout the automotive aftermarket. Your shop's transition from a used car dealership to a full-service shop may just inspire others to follow your footsteps. Hey, find the key talking points and additional bio information on Jonathan Ortiz at remarkableresults.biz/E347. You know what a great resource Remarkable Results Radio is, with over 400 audio storybooks, including the Town Hall Academy lessons, and also the brand new show, For the Record. These are all conversations worth hearing. Hey, keep in touch. Carm@remarkableresults.biz is the email. Hey, we'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.